I mean, I just talked to one of the agents a few hours ago. I talked to some Sunday. The agents are pissed. They're frustrated. They've repeatedly asked for resources. Donald Trump isn't your normal average former president. He's not Jimmy Carter sitting in the old folks' home. And, oh, by the way, some other things are coming out, like the shooter had three encrypted accounts overseas at the same time we're having an Iranian plot. I think this is going to go much broader, much deeper, but the agents are going to hold her to account. Their lives on the lines, and she was not giving the resources they were requesting. But one other thing, Jesse, that Pittsburgh field office was the one responsible for the advance. That was clearly not done appropriately and distracted by Dr. Jill.
And the Pittsburgh field office was also responsible for covering up that bribery Ukraine tip that came in as well. Are you saying that you're getting information that says there's encrypted communications between crooks and foreign sources?
What we know, and this was on the briefing we just received, he had three encrypted overseas accounts the FBI is trying to get into.
What do you mean by overseas accounts?
Well, we know that they were based in servers overseas, and so you've got to work over there with the FBI liaisons overseas to start getting into them through their authorities.
Do you believe this attempt on the former president's life has some sort of foreign nexus?
Well, we know the Iranians have been trying for years, not only him, but everybody, Pompeo and others, involved in the Soleimani strike. And we also know, it's finally come out, many of us have been fighting this for years, that they pulled National Security Advisor O'Brien's detail completely away. He's had to go to his own private security and local law enforcement. So there is all kinds of issues here. And we're going to get to the bottom of it starting on Monday.
Yeah, I'm just not so sure I believe everything that I'm being told about what's inside his phone yet. I just don't trust the people doing this investigation.
All right, so that was Jesse Waters along with Congressman Michael Waltz, and that was at the Republican convention just a few days after the attempted assassination had taken place. And already we were hearing that something's not right. Something's not right. So yesterday, I'm speaking to you on Tuesday morning. You know, I don't know when you're going to be listening, but of this week, yesterday on Monday, there was a hearing in the House Oversight and Accountability Committee chaired by Congressman James Comer. And Kimberly Cheadle, the current Secret Service director, was the guest for the hearing. We'll say that. They had to subpoena her, but she came. So we learned, all right, we didn't learn much from her. We learned almost nothing from her. And I'm going to illustrate that through playing you some lengthy clips that I think are notable. But we did hear things and learn things through the questions of the questioners. And so Bruce and I are going to do our best to tell you what we're hearing and what we think is the latest on this. I think one of the reasons we want to do this thoroughly as we can. Is that I feel like the press is eager to just let this go in the media. I think that's exactly what's happening. This is an incredible disaster. This is so big that a president would be nearly assassinated. I can remember when Ronald Reagan, they attempted to kill him. It was a huge story. Everybody was talking about it, and everyone was concerned. But not in this world in which we live. It's like nothing to see. Let's get on with it. So I want to illustrate to you in many different ways today, why this is important, and give you information, because some of us are not going to let this go, and I'm one of them. And so this is Sandy Rios, by the way, on Sandy Rios 24/7, and you can call us, and I hope that you will. We've been talking about this controversial hard stuff for the last several podcasts, and you can call us with your comments. We welcome them at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. 821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. If you like social media, you can find us on Facebook and Instagram and all of those things. I'm having less and less faith on that. Twitter is the place to go if you really want to know what's going on. My Twitter handle, as they say, is @SandyRiosTweet, because there's no censorship on Twitter. At least nothing significant, maybe some things about, you know, murderers, threats to murder, something like that. But really, you can have free speech. It's great. And so you can go anywhere to listen to the podcast. You can go to AFR.net, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and AFR.net. And also you can go to my website, sandyrios.com. It's very simple to listen from there. So you have lots of choices. It's not hard. And I hope that you'll share with your friends the podcast and maybe coach them if they're not used to podcasting. They'll probably get hooked on it because you can listen anytime you want to, and that's kind of nice. So with the availability of the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom has become the scene of the crime where she tragically expels her child. I'm talking about abortion. Over 60% now of abortions happen through this dreaded, horrible pill. It's two pills, really. I've explained that to you before. The first pill actually kills the baby, and the second expels it. Just so gruesome. And one way to counter that is by helping preborn to show the pictures of babies inside the womb to the moms. And most mothers, the majority of the mothers, decide not to terminate the life of their babies once they see their baby. It's a miracle. It's just a natural thing. It's not a trick. It's just the real deal. It's truth in pictures, 4D ultrasound pictures. And so it works. It's a wonderful way to sidestep all of these obstacles, the people that still love killing babies, the abortionists, the rabid left. It's just amazing. But it's, this is a way to reach them too. Who knows? But if you go to preborn.com/Sandy, preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation, that is the very best way, I think, to stop abortion right now. Well, we have a lot to say, and we have a lot of things to play for you, and I hope you enjoy today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
On July 15th, this committee sent you a list of demands of information that we wanted. Has the Secret Service provided this committee a complete list of all law enforcement personnel that were there that day? Have you done that? Have you provided a list to the Oversight Committee? Yes or no?
I'll have to get back to you on that.
That is a no. Have you provided all audio and video recordings in your possession to this committee, as we asked on July 15th? Yes or no?
I would have to get back to you.
That is a no. You're full of today. You're just being completely dishonest.
On July 13th, we failed. As a director of the United States Secret Service, I take full responsibility for any security lapse of our agency.
Were you guessing or lying when you said you didn't turn down requests from President Trump's detail?
Neither, sir, and I appreciate the question.
Well, what were you doing? Because those statements don't jive.
So what I can tell you is that for the event in Butler, there were no requests that were denied. As far as requests...
Well, maybe they got tired of asking. Maybe you turned them down so darn much, they said, not worth asking.
So no employee has been disciplined, and no employee has been placed in any position that would place their job in jeopardy, nor their standing in the agency.
We are still in the process of
interviewing.
That's
not what I asked. You're the person that runs the place. You're the person that knows right from wrong, good from bad. You've had a number of days, and now you come before this committee knowing you're going to be before us, and you've got to slough it off to someone else.
How did this happen? And why are you still sitting here not turning in your letter of resignation?
I will be joining the chairman in calling for the resignation of the director, just because I think that this relationship is irretrievable at this point. And I think that the director has lost the confidence of Congress at a very urgent and tender moment in the history of the country.
But a president was almost assassinated live on television, not just for Americans, but for the world to see. And this being your first opportunity, I understand there's an ongoing investigation. I understand there's things that you can not talk about. But the idea that we're getting less than you did on television is something that Democrats, independents, or Republicans are going to find unacceptable.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. So the hearing took place yesterday. That was some sound bites from CNN of the House Oversight and Accountability hearing on the what the Secret Service was doing. What the heck were they doing? Kim Cheadle, by the way, was in Aspen, Colorado. She didn't even talk to anyone for 3 days. Before, you know, after the assassination, she was out of pocket, as they say. So yesterday, as she sat before both sides, of course, the Democrats and the Republicans in this committee hearing, it really was jaw-dropping, her affect. I would just say that we've seen the same affect in a lot of other people that have testified before Congress and really learned to game the system. But I'll just let you hear rather than explaining it right now. And then I'm going to walk through with Bruce some things we know that are just haven't been solved. There are tons of mysteries. Mike Waltz mentioned several of them in that opening clip with Jesse Waters, but there are a lot of other mysteries too, and you're going to hear about more of them today. Well, just to get things started off, I think I'm going to start with Jim Jordan because he was one of the first to question Kim Cheadle, and you'll get the idea when you listen to this exchange. Now, it's probably about 5 minutes, so these are going to be longer clips than usual, but I want to take you into that hearing room because I'm guessing you didn't watch it. I watched almost the entire thing. And I'm not saying you should have, but I did that for you. And so I'm going to play these for you so that it's like you were there and you could make your own judgments. I'm going to tell you my opinions. But here was the first exchange with Jim Jordan and Kim Cheadle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director, were you guessing or lying? The day after President Trump is shot, Secret Service spokesman Anthony Guglielmi said, quote, "The assertion that a member of the former president's security team requested additional security resources that the U.S. Secret Service or the Department of Homeland Security rebuffed is absolutely false." The next day, Secretary Mayorkas said, "That is an unequivocally false assertion. We had not received any request for additional security measures that were rebuffed." But 5 days later, the Washington Post said this: "Top officials repeatedly rejected requests from Donald Trump's security detail for more personnel." The next day, the New York Times said this: "Mr. Guglielmi acknowledged that the Secret Service had turned down some request for additional federal security assets for Mr. Trump's detail." So which is it? Because both statements can't be true. Were you guessing or lying when you said you didn't turn down requests from President Trump's detail?
Neither, sir, and I appreciate the question.
Well, what were you doing? Because those statements don't jive.
So what I can tell you is that for the event in Butler, there were no requests that were denied. As far as requests...
Well, maybe they got tired of asking. Maybe you turned them down so darn much they said, not worth asking. How many times did you turn them down ahead of that?
I think that it is important to distinguish between what some people may view as a denial of an asset or a request.
Well, is Mr. Guglielmi your spokesperson? He said he acknowledged the Secret Service had turned down some requests. I'm asking how many?
A denial of a request does not equal a vulnerability.
Well, tell me what it is.
There are a number of ways that threats and risks can be mitigated with a number of different assets, whether that be through personnel, whether that be through technology, or resources.
Well, tell the committee which it was. They asked for additional help in some form or another. You told them no. How many times did you tell them no, and what did you tell them no to?
Again, I cannot speak to specific incidents, but I can tell you in general terms, the Secret Service is judicious with their resources based on...
What does some request mean? How many times? Some indicate request is plural. So more than once they asked for additional help and you turned them down. What did they ask for and how many times did you turn them down? Pretty basic questions.
So again, without having all of the details in front of me, sir, what I can tell you is that there are times...
You didn't get briefed on how many times you turned down the Trump detail when they asked for additional help?
I'm sorry.
You didn't get briefed on that before you came to this hearing knowing you were going to get asked that question?
What I can tell you is that in generic terms, when details make a request... There are times that there are alternate ways to cover off on that threat or that risk.
But that's not what he said. He said they were denied certain requests, some requests.
This is
your spokesperson, not me talking. This is the Secret Service talking. What a change from absolutely false, unequivocally false to, oh, by the way, there were some times where we didn't give them what they wanted. That's a huge change in 5 days. And the fact that you can't answer how many times you did that, that's pretty darn frustrating, not just for me, but for the country.
I hear your frustration.
Let me ask you this. Were any of those requests denied to President Trump's detail after you knew about the Iranian threat?
What I can tell you, again, I don't know the specifics, is that there are times when we can fill a request. It doesn't necessarily have to be with a Secret Service asset or resource. We can fill that request with locally available assets.
You spoke to anyone at the White House since July 13th?
Yes, I have.
Who'd you talk to?
I have briefed the president and the vice president.
Talked to the first lady?
No, I have not.
Talked to the White House staff? Anyone in the White House communications?
No, I have not.
Have you talked to the counter sniper who took the shot that took out the bad guy?
Yes, I have.
And can you tell us about that conversation?
I would not want to reveal conversations that I've had with my employees.
But that's exactly the kind of information the American people want to know. American people who pay your salary.
I understand. This is an ongoing investigation.
Who's doing the investigating at Secret Service? I know the Inspector General, but is there also an internal investigation in addition to the Inspector General?
We are conducting a mission assurance investigation internally, yes.
You know what it looks like, Director? It looks like you won't answer some pretty basic questions. It looks like you got a 9% raise and you cut corners when it came to protecting one of the most important individuals, most well-known individuals on the planet. A former president, likely the guy who's going to be the next president. It looks like you guys were cutting corners. That's what it looks like to me. Is that true?
I am here today because I want to answer questions, but I also want to be cautious.
You might want to, but you haven't answered. I don't think you've answered one question from the chairman, the ranking member, or me. Well, we got a lot of other people asking. We'll see if your record improves. But right now, you haven't answered, I don't think, any questions. I yield back.
All right. So what did we learn from that? We learned, of course, you're getting to know how she handled the hearing. And I don't mind drilling down on that. I think that you need to hear that. It was a complete obfuscation. She didn't know anything. She refused to answer, except she answered a few things. You'll hear her respond with vague and very seldom any specifics. She kept saying she didn't know. It's only been 9 days, and there's an ongoing investigation. Who does that sound like? But I'll talk with Bruce about that in a second, about these bureaucrats who appear before these committees and what they do. So what we did learn, because it's true, we're hearing from all kinds of whistleblowers, and there are lots of them right now from the Secret Service, that the Secret Service did repeatedly deny requests from the Trump team for more security. We also know, I'll just take you through these clips. Let's go to William Timmons. He is a Republican from South Carolina, and I thought this was a pretty amazing exchange, the clip 5.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Director Cheadle, we've asked you a lot of questions and haven't really got a lot of straight answers. I have intentionally created a line of questioning that I think that you can answer. So the first question is, do you agree that the allocation of Secret Service resources should correspond with the risk profile of any given event? A higher degree of risk at one event should get more resources. Is that fair?
That is fair.
Okay. And when two events occur at the same time in the same geographic vicinity, that the risk profile of each event should be taken into account, and whichever event is greater risk should receive greater resources.
That is correct.
Okay, so I'm gonna go over the Trump event. So this was publicly announced July 3rd, Butler, Pennsylvania. The venue is an outdoor fairground, open air, no existing security. The crowd size was expected to be tens of thousands. It ended up being over 20,000. There were general and specific threats from foreign adversaries, as the chairman of intelligence remarked. Iran has said they want revenge, as well as when President Trump was in office, he made a lot of people mad, terrorists to be included all over the world. And, you know, President Trump is the former president and the future president. So I would say that is a fairly high risk event. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, let's conversely, the first lady had an event at a casino in Pittsburgh, just a few dozen miles away. It was a dinner for the Italian Sons and Daughters of America. It was publicly announced on July 10th. What's interesting is that the casino is actually extremely secure. They already have magnetometers existing prior to this event even being announced. It was in a ballroom. And the size of the crowd, a mere 400. There were no specific threats. There may have been general threats. And the asset is the First Lady. Those seem like there's a huge disparity relative to risk. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Multiple whistleblowers and various media outlets have reported that the Pittsburgh Field Office of the Secret Service allocated 12 additional post standers to the First Lady's event and 3 additional post standers to the Trump rally. Is that correct?
There were no assets that were diverted from the First Lady's
This
visit.
Is a very simple question. I'm not asking anyone was diverted. Did the First Lady's event that was relatively secure, especially compared to Trump's rally, get 12 assets? And did the First Lady's event get 12 assets and Trump's get 3 from the Pittsburgh field office? That's a yes or no question. If you don't know, don't answer it. I mean, if you don't know, don't answer it.
The number of personnel that were allocated to both of those events were comparable to the risk at both of those events.
Wow. Really? So you think that the Pittsburgh casino, 400 person in a ballroom with ingress, egress through probably a very well-guarded parking garage, was 4 times more dangerous than a 20,000 person rally on an open field with the former president and future president? You think that that's 4 times more dangerous, the casino then?
I didn't say that at all.
Well, they got 4 times the resources from the Pittsburgh field office, who was likely in charge of the final walkthrough for both events. I mean, we've continually highlighted the failures of the Secret Service at the Trump rally. And, you know, you have the former and future president getting shot. You have multiple injuries, 1 fatality. And I would have to think that if we had 9 more post standards, 9 more individuals that have the training and the integration into the Secret Service defense of Trump at that rally, that I have a feeling that Crooks would have had somebody come say hello to him before he fired a bunch of shots. What do you think that's possibly true?
There were significantly more assets and resources available at the former president's event than there were at the first.
Who made the decision to deploy 12 post standers to the casino where the First Lady was having a 400-person dinner, and only 3 people from the Pittsburgh field office to the 20,000-plus person Trump rally? Who made that decision?
There were additional Secret Service resources available at the former President Trump's event.
Who made the decision to deploy 12 to the First Lady's event and 3 to the Trump event?
The allocation of resources is decided based on the availability of personnel and their location and where they are, but there were sufficient resources.
What did you just
that
say?
Were given to
did you just
the
say there were sufficient resources? President Trump got shot.
Day.
Someone got killed. There were not sufficient resources, clearly.
There was
a
gap.
It doesn't take 27 years of experience to know that. And whoever made that decision, it probably wasn't you, needs to be fired. And then you need to resign, because this is absolutely unacceptable and you've lost the trust of the American people. With that, Mr. Chairman, I yield back.
All right, that was Congressman William Timmons from South Carolina. Boy, he did a great job. I thought he was very effective. And, of course, what did we learn from that? We learned that she knows nothing and that she is so, so disassociated from the reality of what she has overseen in her capacity. The killing, the murder of one man, gone for a lifetime, 2 seriously wounded, and the attempted assassination of a former president and presidential candidate. She just has no passion. She has no concern. And I fault her, if nothing else, for that. Okay, let's go on. So we know now that Jill's event was this casino. And we know from that conversation and that back and forth, she got 12 Secret Service assets, whatever that means. And President Trump, in that huge venue with 20,000 people in an open field, got 3. So we've established that. All right, so let's go to Congressman Tim Burchett. Now, this starts out a little slow because he's kind of a kind guy. I'm a fan. I am a fan of Congressman Burchett. He is the one that Kevin McCarthy got into a fight with. Remember the drama with removing Kevin from leadership? Tim Burchett joined the Freedom Caucus to try to make that happen. And he and Kevin actually pushed, they got in a fight, and Kevin initiated it. It was really weird, But he's a good guy. So here is his exchange with the Secret Service Director Kim Cheadle. This is clip four.
Chair now recognizes Mr. Burchett from Tennessee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Cheadle, the shooter was set up on the roof of the AGR International Building, as we know. Was the roof identified as a potential vulnerability days before the rally?
To my knowledge, yes, it was.
Were agents or officers inside the building? If so, what floor were they on?
We had local police officers inside the building.
The roof looks like it's a tin roof. How did no one inside that building hear someone moving on top of a metal roof?
I don't have the details of all of the interviews that have been conducted yet.
When will you have those?
I have been asking, and I want to have that information as soon as you do.
Okay.
As well.
Why did Secret Service fail to block the line of sight from that roof?
I think that the Secret Service put together a plan where they were counting that roof in as part of their overwatch, and that was the plan that they had put in place that day.
If you weren't going to put a security personnel on the roof, why not at least use drone technology or aerial surveillance to monitor the rally?
There are a number of times that we do use drone technology. I'm not speaking specifically to this event and what was utilized or not. There are times when drone technology is available and helpful at events, and there are times when okay. It is not appropriate.
Do you personally use Signal to communicate with any official from the White House? Signal on your phone.
On occasion, I'm sure that there are people that use Signal, yes.
Okay. Do you use it to speak with the White House? Use Signal?
No, I do not.
Okay. When was Thomas Crooks first identified as a person of interest? Let me help you at 5:10. He was spotted with a rangefinder at 5:51. When did Secret Service notice him?
Again, I don't have those specific timelines, but it was a relatively short period of time.
Let me help you. 5:52. Ms. Cheadle, why was President Trump allowed on stage 10 minutes after the Secret Service spotted a suspicious individual? That seems to me to be the worst thing of all. Of all the breakdown in all this communication, all the BS you've been feeding us here today or not feeding us, that seems to be the question.
So as I've stated before, there are a number of events where suspicious people may be identified. That doesn't necessarily...
Ma'am, I submit to you, you got a guy who's going to be the next president of the United States. He's on stage. I've been to these events. We've all been to these events. A car backfires, and there's a 15-minute dadgum wait. That's not acceptable. Did the Secret Service tell President Trump they'd spotted a suspicious individual before he was shot?
I am unclear as to what the communication was with the former president
okay.
at that time.
Okay, I'll take that as a no. Did y'all deny President Trump's request for more security, yes or no? And when was the most recent request for additional security?
The rally request for security, all of those requests were fulfilled.
And were there any personnel redirected to Jill Biden's rally?
No.
Who made the decision on the direction of agents at either one of those rallies?
I'm unclear as to your question on the direction of the agents.
I said, who directed those agents to be at Ms. Biden's rally or President Trump's rally? The specific agents.
So there is a methodology in which agents are available for assignments, and they are assigned based on either geographic location or logistics or flight.
Ma'am, I appreciate all that, but that methodology about got President Trump killed. Was the security detail guarding President Trump a temporary detail?
The personnel who are assigned to the former president's detail are assigned to him.
Why was there a different detail on the opening night of the convention than the detail that was guarding him in Pennsylvania?
The president has a very large permanent protective detail assigned to him. They work shift work, and so it could be that the people you saw at the rally were not working the same shift the day that he was.
I can assure you, ma'am, somebody that's a lot shorter than the president was not at the convention, and the people that were cowering down behind the mass of agents that were on top of the president were not in the convention hall. At least I didn't see them. You can't seem to answer a single question about an ongoing investigation, ma'am, and you don't know when the information will be released publicly. Are you waiting for the administration to sign off?
No, I am waiting for the results of the investigation, at which time.
Okay. Let me ask you one more question. You found explosives in the shooter's possession. Is that correct?
The FBI found explosives.
Do we know who directed this young man how to make those explosives?
I believe that the FBI is still looking into that on their investigation.
Ms. Cheadle, you said that the buck stops with me, and I agree. I don't think you should resign. I think you should have been fired. Ma'am, you are a DEI horror story. I've told my daughter multiple times, my wife and my daughter, we talk to her all the time about how she's going to succeed in life. She'll succeed in life by achieving. Ma'am, you have not achieved today. You've let the American public down. If it was up to me, you'd be gone. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, Mr. Chairman.
All right, that was, again, Congressman Burchett, I think they call him. That's the Tennessee. The French would say Burchett, but anyway, or Burchett, I'm not sure. But so the whole issue of DEI, if I could, we would pull up. I won't in this moment. I've played this for you last week, I believe, Kim Cheadle on DEI, and how her plan for the Secret Service when she was chosen was to make sure that more women were chosen and that we were implementing diversity, equity, and inclusion. And we had that discussion last week about the women on the detail, and I was the voice that said, this is ridiculous. Just because women want to do something doesn't mean they are capable. It is not any different than a man wanting to be a woman or a woman wanting to be a man. This is fantasy. A woman cannot guard a huge president when she's 5'2 or 5'4 or even if she's his height. Women don't have the same strength. It's just, but this is Kim Cheadle's mantra. And so Congressman Michael Cloud came after her on this. He talked about, first of all, she kept saying, you know, yes, we have a plan, we have a way of doing things, and this is our format. And he said, you know what, you have so many layers of bureaucracy, it offers you plausible deniability, because you can't mention anyone. You can't mention anybody's name. You don't know who's in charge of this. It's like a committee does this, a committee does that. And then he said, you are a champion. It sounds like your priorities are just wrong. You're a champion on diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then he asked her, do you ask the same standards of your female agents as you do of the men? Oh, yes, sir, they have the same standards. Well, I can tell you when Bruce joins me, he can comment on this. That can't possibly be true. And so, Bruce, just hang on, put a pin on that, because when I bring you in, I want to talk about that. So then what did we learn from that exchange? We learned that the shooter had explosives in his backpack. We also learned in another, we know that the shooter, she was finally pushed into a corner. She was asked if the shooter used drones on the field or whatever the area was. And she said, well, not on the entire field. That was her answer. So he did use drones. He was out there using drones himself before the shooting. We are going to hear in another exchange, or we will if we get a chance, that there some are saying, and she did not really deny that there might have been another shooter. She was very vague about that, too. We also learned that the Secret Service didn't even attend the security briefing. There was one a week before, and there was the one the day of. The Secret Service did not even show up. So what else did we learn? Well, I'm going to talk to Bruce about that in just a second. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene had an interesting exchange with Kimberly Cheadle. She laid out this timeline, and she asked, you know, do you have a timeline? Do you have a timeline? And Cheadle says, well, I, you know, not with any specifics. I have a general, you know. And so Marjorie just blew up. You don't have a timeline? You don't have a timeline? You're the Secret Service head, and you don't have a timeline of this event or a timeline of what transpired? So Marjorie lays it out. She says, at 5:10, Crooks was identified by the sniper. At 5:10, there was a photo taken and shared of Crooks on a bicycle with a backpack. At 5:55, there were photos of Crooks circulating. At 6:05, Crooks is seen moving with his backpack. And 2 minutes before the shooting, people see him on the roof. They're shouting. We played those clips for you. There's a man up there with a gun. There's a man up there. Don't you? What's going on? Look, there's a man up there with a gun. So we know all of that. So I'm going to say one last thing that Marjorie Taylor Greene said when she laid this out. She said, Miss Cheadle, whatever she called her, was there a conspiracy to kill President Trump? You know, you can say that these are conspiracy theories, but honestly, after that hearing yesterday, it is so weird, the things that happened. So uncommon. Not only was the strange, wonderful intervention of God, we talked about that the last several days, but there were so many strange things that no one seems to be accounting for on this. I want to pause for a second now and bring Bruce in because it's time. Mr. Former FBI agent, I know you've been listening over there. Can we talk just for a second about, and I know this is going to be, you've discussed this before, but it's time to talk about it a little bit more. I've mentioned again the whole issue of female agents being able to do what the men can do. I want to know what your perspective is on that after serving with a lot of women in the FBI.
As far as women, I do not have a general overall statement because, as with all people groups, I worked with some great women and I worked with some women that I preferred not to work with. In regards to, are there different standards? Yes, there are. In regard to the physical test, if you go to the Secret Service's own website, you'll see it talks about the APAT, which is an acronym for their physical test. And when I went through school at Quantico for the FBI, we had five events. You had pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, chin-ups, and a two-mile run. That has now been changed for the Secret Service. They've eliminated. Oh, and there was a run. There was a sprint run, a 440-yard dash. So that's been done away with by the Secret Service. The two-mile run has been reduced to a mile and a half.
Is that for everyone?
That's for everyone. But then there are different standards within each event. There's a point system. There's an aggregate point system. You must make a minimum score on each event. And when I went through, it looks like that's no longer the standard for the Secret Service. It looks like what they do is they sort of do an overall evaluation of people, and if you're close enough, you pass.
Yeah.
And when I went through, it was very rigid. I remember people that did not make the minimum score got sent into a remedial program. But in regards to this situation, because I don't want to pick on women just because they're women, but we have to be honest with what we saw happen in Pennsylvania on that Saturday. When President Trump was wounded, numerous Secret Service agents rushed onto the stage. I give them all the credit in the world for shielding President Trump. It takes a lot of guts to have gunfire coming down on you, and you're doing your job. You're protecting the president. However, the problem starts when they try to evacuate President Trump to the vehicle. And you have President Trump, who's a big man, both height and weight, and he gets up off the ground with the help of the agents, and now the most direct line of fire to President Trump's head is being covered by a female agent who's probably 5'4". He's 6'3". From his shoulders up, President Trump's head was totally exposed. Had there been another shooter, he would have had a perfect shot at President Trump. It's just anatomy. It's physics. You cannot have people guarding a president or whomever that can't protect him. It's just physically impossible to protect him if you're not as big as him. And I think Burchett's observation of the agents that were covering Trump when he went to the Republican National Convention was the same as what everyone saw. Every agent in that detail as he was walking in was probably 6'2" or more. They were all males, and they were on him.
Yeah.
I mean, they were right. You're in a convention hall, which people have gone through magnetometers, yet they were, I bet those agents were probably 3 feet apart as they formed a screen for President Trump to walk in.
Bruce, this just in, I recognize this is not live radio, but it's about 10 till 11 on Tuesday morning, July the 23rd. Kim Cheadle has just resigned. So it just is coming into my inbox right here. That doesn't really change anything in our discussion. No. But I just wanted to say that that's actually just happened. All right, so...
Well, you know, this. I don't know if you want to get into DEI now, but it's really becoming, I would say, a big problem in law enforcement. There are certain things that women are better at. You know, I noticed when I was in the FBI, I was a crisis negotiator. And I'll tell you, women brought a different perspective to how we dealt with people in crisis situations. They have a unique way. You know, they're... Now, let's not worry about the generalizations, but many of them are mothers.
They're empathetic.
They're empathetic. They have a way of dealing with people where men are more, you know, hard-nosed, and we're going to get this over with one way or another.
And sorry. I'm sorry. I'll stop my quips.
And so in that regard, the women oftentimes were better at the negotiations than us. But when you're knocking down doors and you're trying to protect a gentleman that's 6'3", I'm sorry, most women do not have the physical strength or stature to do those jobs.
Yes, and I think it's just fantasy, and Kim Cheadle was a queen of that. Well, what did Tim Burchett said? You're a DEI nightmare.
Horror story.
Of course, a horror story. So diversity, equity, and inclusion, of course, it means people of all kinds of colors and backgrounds, and sexual orientation, and transgender, and all of that. So she loved it, and that's what she's pushed in the Secret Service since she's been in charge.
You know, I have no problem with people being hired if they meet the requirements. But to do away with meritocracy under the guise of DEI is a very, very risky way to run the military,
yes,
to run law enforcement, to run really all kinds of things. And we're not just picking on women here. We're picking on people that aren't qualified, or because of their physical limitabilities or limitations, they cannot be qualified to do.
We're facing the downside of that. That happens with pilots now.
Yeah.
It's happening everywhere, and common sense tells you it's just not going to work.
We were speaking to a doctor friend of ours the other day, and he says you better be careful when you go to a doctor that's under 40 years of age, because of DEI and because of the way they're being indoctrinated into these schools, yeah, these medical schools.
Yeah. Would it be safe to say overall, Bruce, bottom line, the standards, Kim Cheadle answered that question by the congressman, the standards are the same for men and women. They are the same. Would it be safe to say the standards have been lowered so that women can actually pass?
So
lowered for everyone.
That is what I have been told by people both in the FBI and in the Secret Service, that the standards have been lowered so that more people can qualify.
All right, Bruce, I want a few more words about Kim Cheadle before we leave her, and then I want to flip to something else here. Kim Cheadle, it was interesting. I've been looking into her background, and yesterday when I was looking, I was trying to figure out her, personal life and if she was married. And would you believe that all of that has been scrubbed? There's nothing about her personal life. In fact, it says, I believe it said on Wikipedia, the last refuge for quick searches, that there was nothing. They always have a personal life, and they say unknown.
Yeah,
so we don't know anything about her.
They did not even have a solid year of birth. They gave two, possibly 1970 or 1971. It's come to my attention that she might be an alum of my college, the University of Illinois, but now I can't verify that.
No, Eastern Illinois University.
Oh, Eastern Illinois.
Yeah,
okay.
She is an alum of Eastern.
My mother's school.
She's from Hinsdale, Illinois, which is a Chicago suburb. So.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, I was looking for that yesterday, and I couldn't find it.
Well, see, I looked before you did, and actually there was some stuff up, but during that hearing, yeah, it looks like they scrubbed a lot more of the information. So that should give you some reason to have pause.
Well, you know, now, this is my theory. Kim Cheadle has now resigned because she has done her part. She has obfuscated, evaded, eluded questioning. She has taken the hit now for the administration. She was the sacrificial lamb. And I can almost guarantee you this is the way it went. The administration, the White House, knows their administration is hanging out on this. The DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, and the Secret Service, which are under the White House, have really let the country down. A huge failure. And Donald Trump was nearly killed because of it, and another gentleman was killed.
Yeah.
So how do we do damage control? We send out a sacrificial lamb. So now everyone is talking about Kimberly Cheadle. They're not talking about the administration. They're talking about, oh, this Kimberly Cheadle, she's terrible. Let me tell you something. She knew the answers to a lot of those questions yesterday when she went before that committee. But I can guarantee you she had been instructed to keep her mouth shut until the White House can continue with their damage control. I can tell you personally, when I was in the FBI, if the director had a question about an investigation, you got the information to him or her immediately. The director would not stand. They would not stand for, well, find that out and get back to me. I'm going to go before Congress tomorrow, but it's not a big deal. If you don't get back to me, I'll be fine.
Would you have said it's only been 9 days? Did you really? Our investigation.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bruce, there's a lot more to talk about here. I want to mention that this is another point that has to be made. Several. First of all, the Democrats. I did not play any Democrats yet. I have one clip from a Democrat. Let me just tell you that there are two things. They appeared to be very cooperative. The co-chair for the committee, Jamie Raskin, who is no friend to conservatives, appeared to be very cooperative with James Comer. But this is what happened. It developed into a gun control. You know, that's what they kept weaving through. But they did ask some hard questions, and I'll give you an example. This was Congressman Ro Khanna. This was good. The Democrats, some of them asked better, more concise questions, better prepared than some of the Republicans. So this is clip three. Let's listen.
Director Cadle, would you agree that this is the most serious security lapse since President Reagan was shot in 1981 of the Secret Service?
Yes, sir, I would.
And, you know, do you know what Stuart Knight did when he was in charge at the time of the Secret Service? Do you know what he did afterwards?
He remained on duty.
He resigned. And Stuart Knight was not a Democratic appointee or a Republican appointee. Look, I'm not questioning your judgment. I just don't think this is partisan. If you have an assassination attempt on a president, a former president, or a candidate, you need to resign. That's what Stuart Knight did. He was a Republican appointee, and he took responsibility. And I think you need to reflect. This is not a question of you. It's a question of the American people. You cannot go leading a Secret Service agency when there is an assassination attempt on a presidential candidate. I would say that about anyone who is running. And so I guess my question to you is, what's the difference between your position and what Stuart Knight did?
What I will tell you, sir, is that I am dedicated to finding the answers to what happened. And like every Secret Service agent, we don't shirk from our responsibilities. I will remain on and be responsible to the agency, to this committee, to the former president, and to the American public.
But is there a reason you wouldn't just do what Stuart Knight did after the Reagan assassination attempt?
I believe that I provided an answer.
There's nothing more that you have to say? I mean, do you really believe at this moment, given how divided the country is and the questions asked, that your service in this role is the best for the nation? I mean, I'm not saying you can't do public service again, you can't do something else again. Do you really genuinely in your heart believe that you being in this role is what's right for America at this moment? I mean, do you think there are people who are Trump supporters who have confidence in you? The one thing that we've got to have agencies in this country that are transcend politics, that have the confidence of independents, Democrats, Republicans, progressives, conservatives. Do you really believe that the majority of this country has confidence in you right now?
I believe that the country deserves answers, and I am committed to finding those answers and providing those answers.
Well, I believe, Director Cheadle, that you should resign. I think there are colleagues on both sides of the aisle who believe that, and I hope you'll consider it. I yield back.
All right. That was Congressman Ro Khanna from California, and you could hear it. That was a good question. It was hard questioning.
You know what, Sandy, I'm going to take a little bit of issue with you here. I still say this whole thing about the insistence by both sides in this committee that Director Cheadle resign, that is not the problem. Her resignation does not cure anything right now as to what happened and where we're going to go forward. You have to remember that Kimberly Cheadle works for the Department of Homeland Security. She's in the Secret Service, but they're under the Department of Homeland Security. And Mayorkas, the secretary who also handles the border, is over the Secret Service. Now, Mayorkas just survived an impeachment attempt in the Congress, and he is the guy.
Well, they did impeach him, but the Senate wouldn't vote on it.
Yeah, they wouldn't vote on it. He wasn't thrown out of office. He is the guy, remember this, he is the guy that over and over and over tells us that the southern border of the United States is secure. A bold-faced lie. We can watch video of people coming over left and right. No impediment done by his border patrol. You know, the border patrol must go crazy working for him. So, to me, again, I'm going to use that term. Cheadle was sent up there as a sacrificial lamb. Now everyone's all happy. Oh, she got fired. And believe me, a lot of people are going to try to make this whole situation go away now. Because, well, Cheadle got fired. We don't need to do anything else. That is a big mistake. If the Republicans let that go, they're making a big mistake.
Well, you know that I actually agree with you. I was going to get there because I think this was a setup, and that's kind of the point I wanted to make. I did want you to hear Ro Khanna asking a hard question, because that was several of them did that, and they did us a service, and that we got out more information about the shooting from them, not from her. But I do think this was, I'm just telling you because we're learning, this is most of it is almost always a game with the left.
Yeah. And I didn't mean to act like you weren't going there, Sandy, but what I'm saying is Khan's questioning strictly almost dealt with, you should resign. And again, I think, though he's trying to sound like I'm really getting to the bottom of it, I still think a lot of this on the Democratic side is just to put pressure on Cheadle, make her the bad guy, not the administration. And when she steps down, which I'm sure they knew she would, then a lot of this
it'll just
go away.
Well, I think also they felt it was the Democrats calculated that it was very important that they show that they were concerned about this attempted assassination. And so they kind of, that was their way of dealing with it. Yes, we'll come alongside and we will join in the outrage and we'll put her through a hard test. And as you said, she'll resign and it will just, nothing to see here. Let's move on with it.
Well, think about it, Sandy. We're 10 days out from the assassination attempt on the day we're taping this. 10 days. Mm. And if you go to the press, this story of the actual assassination attempt has almost gone away from the left. They're not talking about it at all. And I think this hearing was a chance for them to sort of put this to bed. Yep. Like, it's the attention is already going away on the left.
Yep.
And now we'll sacrifice Cheadle and we'll look like good guys. Like, hey, we dealt with the problem and that'll go away. You know, going back to Timmons questioning of Cheadle about who was sent to these different events, Jill Biden versus Donald Trump. Poststanders are agents that are dispersed throughout sections of the crowd, various entrances, buildings, things like that. By a poststander, it means they are responsible for an area. Like if a poststander is in front of a building, they are responsible for shielding it from letting anyone in that doesn't belong there, certainly anyone that's going to be a threat. And I mean, if you've ever been to a casino, believe me, they have more security and more cameras than probably any place on the planet. And that only 400 people were showing up, and this is the president's wife. I'm sorry, that's not the same as the former president.
No, that was a pretty disgusting exchange and very revealing. All right, well, I want to give people a taste of Mayorkas on this issue, because he was asked on CNN about it before this hearing ever took place. This is clip 9.
And I sincerely appreciate the clarity on this. I did want to ask you, because this has popped up, Republican Congressman Mike Walls, he said on social media on Saturday, and I'm going to read this for you because it does talk about you, Secretary. I have very reliable sources telling me that there have been repeated requests for stronger Secret Service protection for President Trump denied by Secretary Mayorkas. Your department has already pushed back on that, calling that absolutely false, but he is putting this on you. Can you respond to that, please?
Well, that is, yeah, that's a baseless and irresponsible statement, and is one that is unequivocally false.
Yeah, said the man who says the border's totally secure. All right.
Think about it, Sandy. This administration, when it comes to the Secret Service, has been very selective about who they protect, because Robert Kennedy Jr. was a potential challenger to the Biden re-election campaign. Guess what? The son of an assassinated candidate, the nephew of an assassinated president, is denied Secret Service protection by Biden. And now all of a sudden, since Trump had his assassination attempt, oh boy, things have changed. And now the Secret Service is going to protect Robert Kennedy Jr. if he stays in the race. Now, honey, that's nothing but politics.
Yes, I know. Well, this is all political. DEI is political. It has nothing to do with really securing the safety of anyone. We have to take a break. And when we come back, I actually want to give you some hope. There are some, look, they may be wanting to bury this, but we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let it happen. And there are a lot of good people determined not to let it happen. I'll bring you that report right after this.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Preborn is the direct competition to the abortion industry and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. By letting a woman see her baby on ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance of life doubles. I tell you about that every time we talk, but I just want to tell you again and hope that you will support in the very most generous way that you can Preborn. Preborn.com/Sandy. That's Preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
So I was just showing Tucker some material from an unimpeachable source, let's just say, on the matter. That post, according to my source, that roof was supposed to be a police post. It was supposed to be someone there. They're now making up excuses, saying the pitch of the roof. My source says to me, no one knows why the post didn't show up. But so that's a nonsense story they're putting out in the media. And I was also told that the Secret Service director has been given instructions from the administration and the DHS secretary. You want to keep your job. You'll keep your mouth shut about this. They're not putting that out there. But if you get those site post logs and those police instructions and there was a post on there and they didn't show up and no one checked, someone could have got your dad killed within millimeters.
All right, that was the familiar voice of Dan Bongino, and that was a few days ago. Actually, I think it was during the convention. Now, I told you there's some good news. This is not it yet. This is not it yet. Mayorkas, there are several investigations going on. We just talked to you about the one that happened in the House Oversight Committee on Monday of this week. Mayorkas has an investigation in mind, too. And guess Alejandro Mayorkas, the notable, famous liar now. I mean, that's what was brought up in the House impeachment. And they did impeach him because he's a liar, a bold-faced liar, handling our border. It's just amazing. I want to talk about his background right now. It would take me on a trail I don't want to go on. But he has just appointed to head his own investigation none other than Janet Napolitano. Janet Napolitano was the former Homeland Security Director who hates Trump, who hates conservatives. She's done so many things we don't have time to, you know, retrace her whole history. But Janet Napolitano just recently, she picked Mark Philip, a former Department of Justice official who gave financier Jeffrey Epstein a sweetheart deal on child sex trafficking charges in 2008. So that's her sidekick on this project. Napolitano sued the Trump administration over its immigration policies in 2017. In a conference call in 2020, she blasted Trump for having no plan for how to deal with the issues of structural racism that we have seen erupt around the country. She claimed Trump threw gasoline on the fire in his televised statement during the January 6 riots. She's not exactly an objective person to head this investigation. And there's more to say about that, and perhaps in the days to come we'll talk about it. By the way, just to go way back in the way back machine, she was actually the attorney for Anita Hill way back in the 90s. Anita was the one who accused Justice Clarence Thomas in his hearing of some really ridiculous things, but dangerous. It was the first time we had allegations that were so shocking to the public. But Anita Hill's been proven to be a liar too, but Janet Napolitano was her attorney. So stay tuned for that. And Speaker Johnson has pledged a bipartisan commission, which I don't have a lot of faith in the House. A bipartisan commission, are you kidding? But let me tell you about this. This is the good news. The Oversight Project, you've heard Mike Howell on the show, on the podcast many times. Mike is this comes out of Heritage Foundation. The Oversight Project has been so effective in doing dual investigations since the Congress is so bad at it. They don't have the resources because they're not allocated by these horrible speakers, just telling you. And the congressmen are generally not prepared. They use these hearings as sound bites for their own campaigns. It's really gotten just pretty bad. That's not true for everyone. I played you some good ones a few minutes ago. They are calling, the Oversight Project is calling for a special commission, not a task force, but a special commission. And I think that's going to happen. Ron Johnson, I think, is actually part of this. I don't know if the two are the same, but I kind of suspect they are. Senator Ron Johnson is doing a deep dive, a serious dive on what's happening. And here's the story. Bruce, I want to tell you this one because you wouldn't know this. I want to hand this to you. This is what the Oversight Project just texted. We found the assassin's connections through our in-depth analysis of mobile ad data to track movements of crooks, that's the would-be assassin, and his associates. Look at that, honey. I mean, they don't have the names of the places, but they're showing they have been able to track through his phone his associations. I don't know if you can tell by that. It looks like, what would that be, Massachusetts?
Well, it looks like possibly Boston and Massachusetts, Delaware, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, obviously, where he's from, and it looks like Northern Virginia, possibly.
Yeah. Now, isn't that interesting? Because that doesn't mean anything, but it means something. They've been able to go inside his phone, because the FBI, you know, couldn't even get into his phone for days, and so learning a lot of things.
And you wonder how a young man who's 20 years old, who's a dietary assistant at a nursing facility, has the wherewithal to be making these kind of connections and this kind of travel if he doesn't have help from someone.
Yeah, right. Well, so we're going to find out. But I'm just telling you, there are serious investigations by good men. I review Ron Johnson as one of them. I view Mike Howell of the Oversight Project as another one.
Well, you know, you see what's coming up here. The various sides to this are trying to blunt each other's investigation. That's the game they play in Washington, D.C., and I'll guarantee you this thing being headed by Janet Napolitano will be nothing but a rubber stamp cover-up of the administration. As recently as April of this year, Janet Napolitano made a very derogatory statement about Donald Trump. Now, do you think she's really going to run an unbiased investigation? And what they'll do is this committee will blame Cheadle for everything. Just like we said, she'll be the sacrificial lamb, and then they'll say, we fired her, problem solved.
Yeah, yes, they will. So that, stay tuned. More predictions. All right, well, we're finished for today. I hope you've enjoyed this. And we always thank you for listening, and I want to thank our sponsors, Timothy Plan. Put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Well, thank you for listening. Honey, thank you for joining me. And thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.